We had multiple cash flow issues that were occurring. At one point, we had about $600,000 of services that we had provided that had not received payment from the state of Illinois. A large portion of that was related to an adoption preservation program that the Baby Fold operates in 22 counties, where we have master's level therapists that go out and provide therapy to the adopted child and the entire family to help keep that adoption placement stable. So we were looking at needing to tap into a line of credit to manage that cash flow issue.
Which comes with an interest cost.
Exactly. The choice to tap into a line of credit was the best business decision for us. We have other cash reserves that are in an investment account, but it actually is cheaper with the interest rate that we would pay on that line of credit to access the line of credit rather than to liquidate investments.
What is the state into you for currently?
Well, our situation has improved. That larger adoption preservation contract I referenced, we did start getting regular payments for that in January, so that has been a rather large contract that has helped our bottom line significantly in terms of payments. But we still have some outstanding payments for what is called an individual care grant, where the state has approved 24-hour intensive mental health treatment for a child in our residential treatment center, and we are still owed about $120,000 outstanding on that program, on that service.
And in the overall scope of your budget, put that in scale, would you?
The Baby Fold has roughly a $15 million operating budget. And this current fiscal year, when we built that budget in June of 2015, we had projected our deficit, which has been escalating due to the state financial situation, that we were looking at having an operating deficit of about $1.7 million. That deficit is actually an accumulation of the state of Illinois Department of Children and Family Services, which is one of our huge referral sources for the Baby Fold. We have not seen rate increases from the state for our foster care and residential treatment services for really about 10 years. I think there's been one rate increase that has been given. So we have been doing business and trying to provide some modest increases to our employees, as well as deal with rising health care costs for our workforce, which is a common business issue right now for a lot of businesses, with no additional revenue from the state. That's what's accumulated to that large operating deficit, and that deficit, Charlie, was really what prompted us to begin to have to look at cutting back on our residential treatment center.
Lutheran Social Services ended up laying off 40% of its workforce statewide. They're not unique. A number of other smaller service providers around the state have simply quietly shut their doors.
Right.
What are you looking at?
Well, the Baby Fold is continuing to grapple with those issues. We have some fortunate things going for us, and that we do have an investment fund to help us deal with issues such as cash flow issues or some moderate uncertainty about payments or regularity of payments from the state of Illinois. But one of the things that we are reassessing right now, having experienced this year going 10 months with no state budget and lots of financial uncertainty for people that are doing business with the state of Illinois, I think that we're recognizing that the situation in Illinois and in Springfield is a lot more dire, and we feel the budget scenario and just agreement on budgets going forward is going to continue to be pretty contentious. And it creates a great deal of uncertainty for social service agencies who about 95% of our revenue is either coming directly from the state of Illinois or coming from entities such as local school districts who are also impacted by state revenue. We certainly are not anticipating any increase in revenue for the rate set programs that I mentioned, our foster care and residential treatment. Certainly not residential treatment, possibly some moderate rate increases for foster care. But The longer we just automatically use our cash reserves to make up this deficit from the state, that we could be doing longer-term damage to just being able to serve children and family in need. We don't want to be one of those agencies, Charlie, that has to just totally close our doors.
Well, what does that mean then? You've already cut residential treatment in 20. What else do you lop off to stabilize the remaining core functions?
Well, we've done some more moderate things this year. Every time we have had turnover where a vacancy has occurred, we have examined each one of those vacancies and tried to determine how critical is it that we fill that vacancy at that time. We've had about a half dozen positions that we've left unfilled as we've experienced turnover this year. We have some projected turnover that is happening due to a couple of administrative positions that are retiring or transferring out of our area. Both of those positions are being examined as we prepare our budget for next year. And then we are going to need to just continue to look at staffing and service provision in those programs that we're receiving direct state revenue for, and that would be within our Child Welfare Department of Children and Family Service operation. Every year, as we prepare our next budget going forward, we're going to have to look at the environment that we're operating in, at what's happening with the state and their ability to pay, and make a whole new set of decisions each year going forward. So I'm sure we will be wrestling again with capacity of service in all of our programs, quite frankly.
What does this mean for the number of children that you serve?
About half of our children, a little over half actually, are children that are connected in some way with the Department of Children and Family Services, DCFS, scenario, and approximately a third to a half of the remaining children are children that we serve through both our Hammett School program as well as some outreach programs to public school districts. We had downsized, you know, by about 14 kids in our residential program. We have had some gradual downsizing within our foster care program over the last few years. That program is serving about 30 fewer children than what it had a couple of years ago. And so as each one of those scenarios occur, Charlie, we just continue to try to adjust staffing as best we can so that we're not overstaffed as we see referrals or capacity declining. But at the same time, we know that there are local unmet needs. Take McLean County, for example. This is a good example of the net effect of this kind of unpredictability in Springfield. We know that our county has been on a tremendous initiative, which I applaud them for, to look at mental health service provision for adults as well as children and youth in this community. You know, frankly, if the baby fold wasn't committing so many of its resources to just make up a shortfall from the state of Illinois, a shortfall that when you look at the care for wards of the state of Illinois, and wards of the state mean that the state, in essence, is the parent or guardian of these children.
Until age 18, when they're cut loose and
exactly.
Put on their own resources.
So if the baby fold wasn't having to use the resources we do have to commit to funding services for children and youth and families, for the state's shortfall, there would be more dollars that could be available and be considered for investment in some of our local unmet community needs, such as a mental health initiative in our county. Maybe we need to examine whether there's another place or another group of children and youth that we should be investing those resources in, and not just automatically saying, well, the state can't pay, the state can only pay this much, and that we automatically invest those resources where the state is falling short.
What do you mean by that?
We would be interested in having more discussions with other community providers that are providing services to this local population, and figure out if there's a way that we could collaborate together to help move the programming for the McLean County Mental Health Initiative forward.
How is this reshaping the social service landscape in the state?
If there were more prevention or wraparound services for children that are in high need that could prevent these children and youth from having to go into foster care placement or go into a very expensive 24-hour intensive residential placement such as what we have at the Baby Fold. There might be ways to, A, stabilize children so they could be at home with a family, and B, provide a high-quality service at an earlier point in time to achieve savings down the road. We know that mental health services in our state have been being decimated for a good 10 to 15 years now, underfunded, and frankly, I think that we do see that as being a root cause issue that is leading many children to not be able to be at home with their families, and leading more and more children, even in DCFS's wards of the state scenario, to have to end up in more intensive 24-hour treatment or even in psychiatric hospitalization. So we believe that addressing the quality and quantity of mental health services in general is a sound approach and an approach that would benefit, hopefully, children and families and their stability much earlier in terms of treatment or care.
Diane Schultz is head and CEO of the Baby Fold. Thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, thanks for giving me the opportunity.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.